This is Jock Sampson, and you're listening to the Run the Ropes podcast. And if you don't listen to this podcast, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to knock down your door. I'm going to beat you to death. I'm going to steal your wife, and then I'm going to leave her for you to deal with. Listen to it.
What's up, guys? Today we have an interview with Cyrus DeVille, one half of the Handsome Devils.
Yo, yo.
How's it going, man?
Things are going well. I cannot complain. Life is life, but life is good. And, just trying to live my life one day at a time as best as I can.
That's right.
Overall pretty good, you know?
It's good to hear. Good to hear, man.
Yeah. How are you guys?
Doing all right.
Pretty
cold.
Good.
Cold
yeah.
As hell.
That's what I like to hear.
All right. The first time I actually got to see you was you were fighting the elements at the RSW.
Was that the first time we were in West Virginia?
I think so. Was it last year?
Yeah, no, the first time we were there was August. That was the only time, at least visibly, that we wrestled the elements and just the elements without any other team involved.
Yeah, because he got his mask ripped off. And I thought, man, these guys are dickish heels, and I love it.
Yeah, I vaguely remember the mask coming off, but I will tell you, full disclosure, I don't think we tried to do that.
It was great. I was like, I'm a fan for the heels. And I was like, these guys give zero F's given to anybody. And it's awesome. And I love every second of it.
Precursor onto the Birdman statement over here, where he said, zero F's. You don't have to keep it clean if you don't want.
I didn't know. I just wanted to test the waters before we got into it.
That's up to you. That's up to you.
I try my best not to curse.
Okay.
Just in life in general, so I'll do the best I can now, but I don't know, sometimes it just happens to slip out.
Yeah, that's totally fine. That's totally fine.
If you go through past episodes, I'm usually flying the F word like it's the best word on the earth.
Sometimes the F word needs to be dropped every once in a while, right?
Yes, it does.
I'll ask you, what started you to become a wrestler? Like, what made you want to become a wrestler?
Well, I wanted to be a wrestler. Probably, if you asked me throughout, my entire life, from whatever age, it's always been I wanted to be a wrestler, always. I just never really knew how to do it, and there was a certain period of my life where I wasn't doing too well, so even had I started earlier, you know what I mean? At a more ideal age, I started when I was 24, but I don't think it would have worked out as well as it has if I would have started, let's say when I was 18 or anything, because, like I said, I've always wanted to do it, and I never really put the footwork into, looking into it either, but, there was a period of my life where, I wasn't doing well, and, anything I touched, turned to soot, so even if I would have started then, it probably wouldn't have worked out for me. But I don't know. I got to be honest. Wrestling, becoming a wrestler, almost kind of fell into my lap. I know the old saying is opportunity's not just gonna come. You got to make one. But to get into professional wrestling, it kind of did just fall in my lap. I remember I was just out with my friends one night, and they wanted to go bowling, and I was like, all right, I'll go. And there's two places on Staten Island, and right now there is. There's going to be a new one soon, but there's two places, and the one that was closer to us, at Long Island at the moment, I just, for whatever reason, I voted against it, didn't want to go to the other one because it was closer to my old neighbor. No other real reason. I don't know. Maybe it was destiny. I don't know. And I was the only one that wanted to go there, but we did like a rock, paper, scissors. I won, so we went down there. And I happened to see somebody doing security at this bowling alley. And I knew he wrestled because I went to school with his younger sister. So I knew he wrestled. And we just got to talking. And then he gave me Joel Maximo's phone number. And, you know, like 2 weeks later, I'm at the Ludus Wrestling Academy. And I'm starting training.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it literally was kind of like one of those moments where it's like, you know, I'm not like a big, you know, God or anything like that, but it's like the universe is definitely working in my favor on this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was, and you know, like I said, that started my journey in February of 2014, and you know, now here we are, February of 2019, and you know, and it's been a really wild ride. It's ups and downs, and you know, it can take you on an emotional roller coaster because it's one of those things where it's like, and I'm sure everybody gets like this within life, right? It's just like I want to be somewhere and I'm not there yet, and I don't really have the patience to, like, you know, and I just want to be there. I want to be there. So you know, sometimes that, you know, when I get myself into that mind state, it's, you know, I'm kind of like, oh man, I should be here. But when I kind of take myself out of it and realize, you know, like, you know, I wasn't even doing this not that long ago, and it wasn't even a thought anymore, and now here I am, and I'm having fun, and you know, I like to think I'm pretty good at it, and you know, I get to travel, you know, with my friends. You know, I can't really answer much more.
Yeah.
So what was your earliest, like, wrestling memory? Like, what was it that you saw that made you become a fan?
As far as I know, my mother and father told me that, you know, I've been watching wrestling as long as I can remember. My mother was to my first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 6. You know, I was a couple months old, so like I don't remember it at all. But right. My first memory of wrestling is I remember Yoko getting slammed on the Intrepid by Lex Luger.
Oh.
For some reason, that sticks out in my memory. And then the next memory really after that was when The Undertaker came back to wrestle The Undertaker. Like, I remember that pay-per-view. I remember that match very well. Like, the Lex slamming Yoko thing, I might have seen that on, like, Rerun or something. I don't know. But I do remember for sure watching Undertaker versus Undertaker. And, you know, I don't know. That's, like, the first solid one I know that I watched that lot.
Purple gloves versus gray gloves.
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting... Like, looking back now, it's like, well, what an interesting idea, and I kind of wish it would have worked a little better, but as a kid, I was, you know, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I just knew that the other thing was going back, and there was another Undertaker.
I
you know what I mean? Then you just kind of, like, as a kid, as a four-year-old, I'm just like, well, that one's with Paul Bearer, so
that's my favorite version of Undertaker. Is the purple gloves.
The purple glove?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I probably lean towards that one, too, just because, like, that's, like, the first memory, like, a real memory is that one, but, like, I don't know, I look back at some of the gray glove taker days, and I'm just like, ah, that was kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
I felt like, I mean, I know it was later on, but, like, that same feeling that you had, like, seeing those two together, I mean, like, this is weird and interesting. I still did that later on when I was, like, a teenager when Kane versus Kane happened.
Oh, my God, yeah. Kane versus Kane?
Yeah. Gallows, before he was ever anybody dressed up as the old Kane to face the unmasked Kane. They had a match. The old Kane won it.
I know, and then the next day Kane destroyed him, and that was it.
Yeah, and it's like you could have gone so many places with that because he played that role so well. It was it was really good.
Yeah, what I think happened, and I could be wrong, but like judging from a perspective of a fan, I guess, is I remember that match, and I remember it not being good. At least I didn't enjoy it. I don't know. I mean, there was definitely legs with that, I guess. But I think the crowd, as it was going, I don't know, it just felt like it was done very hokey, I guess.
Yeah.
And it could have been a lot more, but it was just kind of like the whole, was it May 19th, and it was so weird. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
And that was also like the big, like, whenever they show like the Kane top rope botch, that was that match too.
took. Oh yeah, that match. Yeah, I mean, you know, it happens, right?
It's, yeah.
I'm sure, like, going into it, they thought it was going to be a great idea, and on paper it sounds like a good idea, but who knows? Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it just doesn't go according to plan, and that happens quite often.
Yeah.
I got, like, two questions that kind of come into one. You've worked with two of my favorite deathmatch guys, and one's G Raver, and one's Matt Tremont.
Oh, yes.
How was it working with them two? And what an honor to be featured on Matt Tremont's DVD.
You know, that's that is an honor, and you know, I'm very appreciative of that. And to answer your first question, how was it working with them? It was, both of them were a blast to work with, and primarily because they're both class personified.
Mm-hmm.
Two very, very good dudes, you know what I mean? I hope I'm not, like, you know, hurting their image or anything like that. But two very, just really nice dudes that, you know, I respect both of them immensely for what they've done for professional wrestling, especially the deathmatch scene. And, you know, just, I can't say enough good things. I had, you know, I thought both of them were pretty good. You know, they were fun. I had a good time. And I feel like it helped me kind of, like, all right, so for instance, like, I've been pretty much within a group or a tag team almost my entire career, never really too much on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helped me prove, at least to myself, that I could be on my own. You know what I mean? You know, the Matt Tremont angle, that was something that I kind of came up with, I guess, in my mind, because, you know, I was working with a company, and I was doing well there. I was having a good time, but it really, they had a lot going on, and I really don't think they had any real plans for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just came up with an idea, pitched to somebody, they liked it, and next thing you know, we're working towards me and Tremont. And the whole idea for me was, like, the whole reason why I wanted to work with Tremont again is to prove that, you know, not just to myself, but other people, like, you know, I could, you know, hang with somebody, you know what I mean? I could hang with somebody that has a good name.
Yeah.
And I think I proved that. And it went so well that he invited me to his Subterranean Violence tapings in August, and that was a good time, you know what I mean? And, you know, looking to do more with H2O, hopefully in the future, we'll see how that goes, and, you know, just more in deathmatch in general.
Nice. Yeah, I was a major fanboy when I got to see Tremont this past summer. He dropped his bandana in the crowds, and I, like, snatched it up and took it home with me. I fanboyed out with it. But we're actually supposed to have Tremont here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll definitely have to play that back to him and show show the gratitude, because, I mean, it's...
Well,
I can't say enough good things about that guy. You know, even just my dealings with him, just, like, you know, just through Facebook or when I'm talking to him in person, he's just nothing but class and respect. And to be honest with you, like, I haven't really done anything in wrestling to him to treat me with such respect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so for him to, you know, sometimes you meet people that have a bit of a name and they kind of get, you know what I mean? They think who they are. And that happens a lot with professional wrestling, you know. It's almost like high school. Like, if you're not at this level, some people don't want to talk to you, you know, like, shit.
Yeah.
Like, she's fine, whatever, and I just don't deal with that, you know, and I just want to go speak to those people. But with him, he couldn't have been more gracious and more complimentary of me, which, again, helped me out, you know, confidence-wise. And just, you know, again, like, I can't say enough good things about that man.
Well... Now I have a question for you, and now this has a little bit of background to it.
Hang on, is this the question that we've been wondering?
Yes. Okay. So, basically, Teddy is a big deathmatch fan, and for me, I can watch matches. I can go back and watch, like, the old hardcore matches and stuff, and, like, there are elements of things that I'm okay with, but overall, like, I haven't been able to get a connection to become a fan of deathmatch wrestling. So a lot of Teddy and I's back and forth is him trying to explain it to help me understand, you know, why I should have a connection with it. So my question is, why do you enjoy deathmatch wrestling? Like, What's the appeal there that makes you like it, you know, enjoy having those matches? Or
I love the chuckle he gives you before he responds.
I don't even know if I have a real answer to that, to be quite honest. There's just something about it, and call it sadomasochistic if you want. I don't know. It's just something I've always been kind of attracted to, is the, you know, just, I don't know. And don't get me wrong, I didn't really watch a lot of deathmatch wrestling before I became a wrestler. My deathmatch watching really consisted of, like, WWF Hardcore and ECW.
Yeah.
That was it. I didn't, like, watch CZW or anything like that. I just, you know, until I got into it, I started to see it, and I kind of just fell into it. My character, the Cyrus DeVille character, kind of just lends itself to that style.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, in the place that I, the first, like, kind of anything I ever did that kind of resembled anything, I did an I Quit match with Ian Old. Mm-hmm. It is in Brooklyn about 2 or 3 years ago. And I just remember really, and we didn't even go crazy, you know what I mean? It was kendo sticks, you know, shoot thumbtacks and stuff, but it wasn't anything major, and I just remember, like, really enjoying it. Long story short, I don't even know. I can give you an answer. I don't know what the attraction for me is. It's just something that is appealing to me, and it might have something to do with me being a little off, I guess. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Like, you know, it's like, you know, I know, like, maybe it has something to do with, you know, years of internalizing emotions and stuff like that. It's just like a way to take it out. I don't know. And I'm sure if we really, like, you know, get a doctor on hand and really, you know, discuss things like a psychiatrist or something like that, I'm sure we'll find some reason. To answer your question, I really don't know. It's just, I don't know, something. And it's always a big, you know, I gotta be honest, like, I've been in the H2O locker room a few times, and, I've had a good experience in every locker room I've ever been in, but there's something about a deathmatch locker room where it's just, like, very, it just feels like, you know, everybody genuinely cares about each other.
The guys that scare the shit out of you looking at them are the nicest guys in the world.
What was that?
The guys that scare the living shit out of you are always the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really, as far as, like, the H2O locker room, this is really the only, I guess, traditional deathmatch company I've ever been in. I've never had the feeling of people looking down.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Everybody seems genuinely nice, and, you know, I have also a lot to thank for that. He's one of the people that kind of, you know, was like the middleman almost with the Tremont thing, too. So it's like, you know, Stockade is somebody else I'd be remiss to not mention, because he's been a huge influence on me, too.
Yeah. Have you made it out to Casanova Valentine's Brooklyn No Ring Deathmatch?
I haven't. Usually it's on days where I'm, you know, nights before my suit job, I'm supposed to be up at 4 in the morning for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember the first one he did was with a buddy of mine, Joe Attell. That was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me if I wanted to take part in it, and at first I said no for a couple of reasons. One, it just wasn't going to work out my work schedule.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't, it was, like, just hectic at the time. And then two, I was also given some advice by a few different people to not do it. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, you know, should I not, should I not, I don't know. And I was really, like, internalizing, like, should I do it? I really wanted it. But, again, with my work schedule and then with people that, you know, that I have a lot of respect for saying, hey, maybe that's not the best idea to wrestle in a bar.
Yeah.
I kind of turned it down, and, you know, I don't really regret turning it down, but it is something that, you know, it would have been nice to do. You know, I try not to live my life with regrets at all, you know, but I guess if I had to choose one so far in wrestling that could be on the list, I really wish I would have. But at the same time, who knows, because, you know, it would have been, you know, it was really, he actually really early on, before he started getting, like, Sadas and Tremonts and Stockades and Ravers.
Yeah,
it was before, like, he really started getting some prominent names. But it's still one of those things where, and he's another one. He's one of the nicest dudes I've ever met in professional wrestling.
Oh yeah,
and I wish I kind of would have done it, but, you know, I can't go back now. It is what it is. And maybe one day it'll work out. If it doesn't, oh well, you know. I wish him nothing but the best, because he is. And I messaged him a while ago, telling him that, you know, I appreciate what he did because he is the definition of DIY in professional wrestling. He was not getting both places.
Yeah.
He'll tell you himself, his career was almost over. He just did it because he said, screw it, and look what it's turned into. And good for him. He's one of the nicest guys, so I really, have a lot of respect for him, and I'm glad he's working out for him.
See, there's a deathmatch company that comes down here, close to Fairmont in Shinston, called VOW. And I'll tell you what, there's a triple threat match I'd love to see, and that would be you, Schlack, and Marcus Crane.
Oh, that would definitely be a good time. I don't know if that'll ever happen there or not, but that would definitely be a cool gig, you know what I mean? Again, two more guys that I would love to mix it up with, you know what I mean? And it's just, again, deathmatch wrestling is in itself an art form, and it's not everybody's cup of tea, you know what I mean? And I'm never going to tell anybody, hey, you need to watch this, you need to watch this because it's a great film. Because some people just aren't into it. You know what I mean? And that's okay, because wrestling offers so much different stuff that, there's room for everything. And that's probably one of the reasons why I appreciate G. Raver so much, because he's like a hybrid wrestler.
He'll do
stuff, and then he'll just, do some lucha and do some technical wrestling. He's a marvel.
Yeah.
He needs to be more places. That man needs to be in a lot more places, just based on his ability to adapt in just about any setting.
Yep. He is a very good wrestler.
Yes. He's very good
at He's good at his craft.
Really genius to be in more places.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll take us away from deathmatch wrestling. maybe, with this next question. But I guess this is also kind of a two-parter, and you'll see why here in a second. who would you want to work with the most? And that could be like currently, and it could be like of all time, whether it's somebody who's still around, past, whatever. But like, who would you want to most have a match with?
Oh, that's a good question. Off the top of my head, when you asked me, the first thought came to me was Jeff Hardy.
Oh.
Jeff Hardy is one of my favorite wrestlers ever. I just think it would be a blast, and it would be one of those moments for me where I'm like, oh man, I got to do that, cool. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be really dope.
Yeah.
But that's like a hard question to answer, because there's so many to like choose from. But Jeff Hardy's on that list. Fuck. Jesus, there's so many. I can't even really name any, but there's a lot. Jeff Hardy, like, if you're talking about people that I grew up idolizing, Jeff Hardy's up there. Well, at least guys that I grew up that, it would still be somewhat feasible, and he's like the one. But as far as like people like local, on the indies, I would, I've had some really fun matches with Logan Black, and he's somebody I would work with every day of the week if I could. I would work with Tremont again. Stockade is somebody I've never really wrestled one-on-one. So this guy's Casanova. There's a lot of guys, and it's hard to answer. Ron Mathis is another one. I would love to get in the ring with Ron Mathis. I grew so much more appreciation for him. He was the H2O champion for a while. You had a match with Marine Manic. He was just so damn good during that match, and I grew a new appreciation for him for a number of reasons. So, he's somebody else.
I'm just so happy at this interview that I can say names and someone understands who I'm talking about, because I cannot talk deathmatch or anybody's name, and BJ's like, who? What?
Well, it's not for the sake of me, like, undermining. It's just for the sake of not being in that realm.
Like, when you said Stalked, and then you just said Maria Manic, I'm like, oh my god, like, there's so much we could talk about.
And that's okay, dude. Like, that's okay, because, it's not for everybody. Just like, maybe Lucha's not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, I gotta be honest, like, it just, it's just, there's certain wrestling that I won't watch, you know what I mean? It's not because it's bad or anything like that. It's hard to say something that's so subjective as bad, but it's just, maybe it's just something that I don't enjoy, and if deathmatch wrestling isn't your cup of tea, that's fine.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, I used to not really be that into it either. I used to be like, oh man, they should save that for, like, when it really matters.
And a lot of me still believes that.
I think...
Like, it'd be better served, like, at the end of a big feud. But
yeah.
At the same time, I mean, it has its place and it has its audience, and I enjoy the shit out of it. So.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of my mindset is, too, is like, oh man, if you just save this for, like...
You're used to NWA days.
The end of it, like, end of a feud is when you bring out that.
You're used to NWA days where they did a steel cage at the end of every feud.
Yeah, just...
Well, I mean, at the same time, it's like, there's a lot, and I understand that point of view, and a lot of, I agree with it to an extent, is, like, when you do something so often, it kind of dilutes it and devalues it, right? So, you know, by the end of it, it's just like, you know, I've seen everything, whereas, like, back in the day, if done accordingly now, it's like, you can really get a lot of mileage out of a simple street fight if you're not doing it that often. But like I said, at the same time, there is a huge audience for deathmatch wrestling, and I've turned into somebody that really enjoys it, and I enjoy doing it, so. But again, I completely understand the whole, like, you know, not really being your cup of tea, and that's okay.
Yeah. It might happen one day for me. I don't know.
Maybe I won't have another bachelor party, but maybe I'll get you to go to another one, like I did for my bachelor party.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've been. I feel like I'm talking over myself here for a second. I'm sorry. I didn't want to keep you too long. I appreciate all the time that you've, like, given to us, and the patience that you had with us first getting started here.
No, not at all, man, but, listen, I have no problem talking. I set aside this time, and, it's not a big deal at all. Thank you for asking me, I really appreciate it.
Dude, we appreciate you being on.
A lot, grateful.
It's not easy getting people.
Well, it's not only that, like, it's just getting to be on this level with, you know, people that you see in the ring and stuff, and... A lot of the times when you are listening to podcasts or you're seeing stuff like that, it's people who are currently, like, working with the promotions as some other type of staff, or even wrestlers themselves, you know, getting friends of theirs on.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's really, we're really appreciative to just be able to be fans and be able to have, you know, be able to reach out to you and you give us time.
Hey, listen, at the end of the day, we're all human beings, right?
And
no better than any of you guys, it's just...
And to be honest, I was very hesitant to ask, because the first time I see you, I got the image of, like, if I ask this guy to do this, he's going to rip my head off and shit down my neck. Like,
but hey, that just...
I've been told they have an intimidating presence.
You do. You do, sir. The first time I seen you, I was like, damn, this guy's going to beat my ass if I say something to him.
Nah, man, I'm a good dude. Well, that's what I'm told. But, yes, I've also been told that I have, like, if you don't know me, I have someone intimidating. You know what it is? It's like... I'm also, like, really reserved, and so I guess that can kind of give off a weird vibe at times, but, you know, I'm just a regular dude, just like everybody else, trying to get by and trying to live this professional wrestling life.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you guys come to all the shows, too, man. We need, you know, and RSW, man, is growing. It's on the rise, and it's a company that I've had the honor of being a part of pretty much since the inception of it, I feel, and it's, you know, I have TJ Phillips to thank for that. That guy, he was the one that really brought us in the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That match that you've seen, that first one that was his doing, he's the one that reached out to us because we met him in Ohio one day, and next thing you know, we're going to West Virginia. and Tim Cross, man. Tim Cross is another one. He's the one that makes it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys, the fans, just keep coming out and supporting RSW, because... definitely going to be a company in a few years where you're going to, if you're not supporting it now, you're going to wish you watched it from the beginning, because it's, you know, RSW is on the rise, make no mistake about it.
Yeah. So what all do you have currently going on, like, with dates and shows, to let the listeners know about?
We got RSW, 6 weeks of winter left, well, 6 weeks left of winter. You know, we got that this Saturday. We're going against the Shinobi Shadow Squad. That'll be a good time. And I got to be quite honest, I'm not too familiar with them. I don't really, you know, I think we were talking about it, Teddy. I don't really have a lot of time to watch professional wrestling with a baby on my hands. But
yeah.
But Spectre is very familiar with them, so that'll, you know. But so hey, listen, that's gonna be a good one, you know. And you know, RSW is gonna deliver a good show as usual. And then the following week, we debut with a professional wrestling company in Pennsylvania called Outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the, and then you know, we'll be back with RSW in Buckhannon the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of RSW and a lot of Outbreak in our future.
Nice. Where can people find you on social media?
I am Cyrus DeVille on Facebook, Cyrus DeVille 89, well, at Cyrus DeVille 89 on Twitter, and Cyrus underscore DeVille on Instagram. I don't really utilize Twitter like I should, but I'm there.
We understand. We got a few of our social media platforms that are straggling along for some breathing for some life, so it's hard to manage all at once.
I plan to be, weather permitting. So
you better be there. You called me up to interview me for that show.
So you remember that intimidating? There was. Presence?
Now I'm intimidated.
Yep.
There was.
I expect to see both of you there. Let them know RSW is the shit, and we're gonna be taking over the wrestling world shortly. So make sure you're there, cause it's gonna be a good time.
Well, to give you a heads up, we've had so much fun doing this interview. How would you guys like to be the first tag team we have on the pod, the Handsome Devils?
That would be a great time.
We'd love to have that.
Get Alex to set aside some time. You know, Alex or AJ.
AJ.
He's He's currently in school, like, he's at school right now because he's going to be a doctor.
Wow.
Awesome. Yeah, so, you know, even his time's a little scarce, but I'm sure we can get him off in a few minutes.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We'd definitely love to have you guys, and like I said, we appreciate the time that you gave here this evening, and we'll catch you on Saturday. And is there anything else that you'd like to say?
Really can't think of much, but I would like to say, I guess, you know, take, I guess, a little bit of time to maybe raise awareness for drug addiction and alcoholism. I don't know how it is in West Virginia, but you know, out here on Staten Island, it's you know, the opioid. It's a pretty big crisis right now, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate because a lot of people dying, a lot of young people dying, and it's really sad to see. You know, I was fortunate enough. You know, I was 22 when I got sober, and you know, and I just, you know, if anybody out there is looking for help or just need something, a way out, man, there is a way. You don't have to do that anymore. It's not, you know, drug addiction and alcoholism, I know it's a cunning, baffling and powerful disease, and the people just you know, it's really sad, and I just it's hard to watch people throw away their lives, and it's not even like, you know, it's difficult, and it, you know, I don't expect too many people to understand what it's like to be in that situation, and but it's not easy, and it's not just something that you just wake up in the morning and be like, oh, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah,
you know, some people have that ability, you know, and but a lot of people don't, and it takes a lot of help, and it takes a lot of self-reflecting and working on oneself to really, you know, get out of that. So if anybody's out there looking for help, man, there's so much help available. You know, just, you know, reach out to somebody, you know, they'll point you in the right direction.
That's awesome, man.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that, and thank you again for being with us, man.
Thank you guys for having me. We'll talk to you guys Saturday. All
right, buddy. All right. We'll see you Saturday.
Have a good one. All
right. Later.
See you. We were super thankful to have Cyrus DeVille with us on the podcast. Great dude. I really liked his message to have awareness for the opioid crisis. happening in some areas, you know, a lot more strongly than others, but generally over the U.S. entirely. He will be competing Saturday at RSW Six More Weeks of Winter, which is in Fairmont. You can go to RSW's page on Facebook or Real Shoot Wrestling to find out all the details there. He and his tag team partner will be facing the Shinobi Shadow Squad from Ring of Honor. So yeah, the Handsome Devils versus the Shinobi Shadow Squad should be a really good match, and you all should go out and check it out. And give Cyrus a follow on all of his social media accounts. And again, we just really want to thank Cyrus for being on the podcast, and we hope you all have enjoyed listening to his background, what's really brought him into the business, you know, his deathmatch experience, and where he's currently heading with the Handsome Devils. So, catch you guys later, and thanks for listening.